Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, but I would not possible.
Either. It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and,
this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35. Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dory Shafrir. And we are not experts.
Oh, why did I try to steal that line from you? But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums. Hello, sorry.
No, you didn't. I thought you were hesitating. And so I was like, I guess I'll just jump in.
Well, I might be a little rusty from taking a week off.
Hey. That's okay.
And also, as I told you before we started recording, I am recording this episode lying down in my bed because I hurt my butt. So I feel like that's gonna confuse me. I've changed. I mean, I've only moved like 6 inches from my chair to my bed, but I've never recorded a podcast laying down in bed before.
How are you feeling? Do you want to share with our listeners what happened?
Listeners, this morning while doing my online live aerobic step class, I eagerly leapt up onto my step, which was on its highest height, because I really enjoy step aerobics, and I rolled my ankle, and then the rolling of my ankle caused my body to fall backwards and land on my right side on the like hard concrete garage floor. I was on a yoga mat. I landed on a yoga mat, so I didn't scrape myself, which was nice, but I really effed up my butt, my glute, my femur. I'm not quite sure because my knowledge of anatomy is very limited. But it really hurts to walk and it hurts to sit. So I'm laying. Yeah. It's okay. I think it's just very bruised, but I do have a telehealth appointment tomorrow just to make sure, like, I didn't secretly, like, fracture a bone or something.
Yeah. I hope they're able to help you.
I should say that I turn 41 this week, so this is a...
You really do.
Really feeling my, like, my age a little bit, you know? Mm. Like... My daughter like found me on the ground because I couldn't.
Oh my gosh!
She was outside looking for something and heard me swearing and came in to see what was going on. And I was just like on the ground, kind of just like not sure if I could get up. It was very like it was a very humbling moment. I'm grateful.
Oh my gosh!
To get up off the ground, and she was terrified because I was screaming. You know. Anyway. Rolling into Kate. 41 like a boss. Like a boss.
Oh my gosh.
Dory, how have you been since we last talked? We haven't really talked in like over a week.
I know. Well, you were away and I wanted to respect your awayness.
Thank you. My family, we traveled about 40 minutes and stayed in an Airbnb that we disinfected, and it was very we avoided other people and it was very nice.
That sounds restorative.
It was actually really nice.
I am fine ish
are you feeling it? Just, are you feeling the, just like, the weight of the world?
I'm feeling like pretty discouraged by the state of the world lately, and like not really sure what to do with that feeling. Like I spent a lot of last week getting very angry at photos on social media.
Okay.
And
take
now
me on this path.
Well, just like seeing people who had previously been like had told me, not that I asked, but just like had talked about how they were social distancing, like seeing pictures of them like with non-family members unmasked, like out and about. And I was just kind of like, what is happening? And like, find out my parents haven't been as cautious as I thought they had been. And it just kind of like sent me in a spiral that culminated in posting like a rant on Instagram about stories about social distancing and etc. And actually I got a lot of people messaging me sharing my frustrations, and so that was kind of validating to know, because I was like, am I the crazy one? Because someone in my life told me I was being crazy and they were like, you are not. So that was kind of validating. But then like after that, I've just been sort of bummed about it and feeling sort of powerless and frustrated. And then there's an article I read in The Atlantic that is helping me, I think, a little bit start to reframe my negative thoughts around people that I see like going out to dinner and socializing, etc. And we will link to this article in the show notes. But the headline is, "Our minds aren't equipped for this kind of reopening." And it's basically saying, like, look, like, we should be angry at the government for allowing these things to reopen. Like, if the Cheesecake Factory is open, we shouldn't get mad at the people who are going to the restaurant that is open. We should be mad at the government for allowing it to open. Mm-hmm, so kind of like hate the game, not the player, if you will. I mean, it kind of goes back to that whole, like, we are tackling like systemic racism. We're tackling these big structural things. And I think this is another example of that. Like, I should be directing my anger at the government for being incompetent. And like, yes, it's very frustrating to see all these people out and about, but like, we have gotten no guidance and no clarity and just mixed messages this whole entire time. And so, you know, I wish that people wouldn't go to the Cheesecake Factory, even if it was open. I don't mean to be singling out the Cheesecake Factory. That was just the first that jumped into my mind. Nothing against the Cheesecake Factory. I'm sure they are doing great.
That cheesecake.
With social distancing. But yeah. So I don't know.
I agree with you, but I also think there is enough information for hopefully people with a lot of access to make wise choices, right?
But this is like where I started, and I have come to find out that, and Matt and I talked about this a little bit on Excellent Adventure, and he pointed out that like a lot of people are just kind of experiencing cognitive dissonance where they have kind of convinced themselves that like what they are doing is okay.
Yes. I feel myself doing that. So I can empathize. Yes.
And like, I get it. And so that is where I get kind of tripped up, where I'm like, okay, people should be responsible enough to make their own decisions. Like, they have all the information. And even the people who maybe aren't going to like Fire Island to a huge party with like hundreds of people, maybe they're like opening their social circle in a way that is probably not advisable, but they have convinced themselves that it's fine somehow, you know? And that's what I'm like having trouble with.
Yeah.
Like all these little things that we all do. Or I should say that a lot of people do that, like, that we have told ourselves are okay. And like, then on the other hand, I'm also like, well, look, we are in a situation where like we have to start thinking about risk mitigation. And I think this is something we talked about a long time ago, maybe on Here For You. That it's like, it actually is unrealistic to expect everyone to stay in their homes for months and months. And so then it's like, well, what are the things that we can do? And like, it actually probably is fine for people to go to the beach and not be masked, you know? Probably. I don't know, but I'm not a doctor, I'm not an epidemiologist. Oh, I'm rambling. I don't have the answer. I don't want to be a social media scold, and I don't think it's healthy for me to like always be judging and looking at people and like assessing whether they are doing things right, because someone might look at me and be like, you're not doing things right. You know?
And I think you make a good point. We are all doing this with zero guidance from the national government, like absolutely zero guidance. And so you're right. It's safe to assume most of us are trying our best and trying to navigate it. I mean, there is, and also, like, you know, you're talking about the risk mitigation. Like, as a parent, I have to start figuring out school for my kids, as you know, and there are mental health considerations that are coming along with that. And then, you know, for some people, it is not safe to be at home. They are in violent situations at their home. You know, like there's all sorts of considerations to take into account. And, you know, I think another thing that is worth pointing out as we talk about this is that there is major inequality, racial inequality, when it comes to coronavirus, and that Black and Latino Americans are affected way more than white people.
Yeah. And you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been seeing an attitude around town of people being like, well, I'm young and healthy. If I get it, it won't be that big of a deal. And it's like, okay, but when you then go to the restaurant and the waiter who is serving you, like, they might not have a choice about whether they can come to work. And now you've infected that person. And odds are the people in your life who are essential workers are Black or Latino. And it's because they are disproportionately Black and Latino in this country. And so there's just like this selfishness, and that just bothers me. I'll stop ranting now.
No, I think it is heavy on many people. I mean, people are dying. I have friends who are losing loved ones, and not just older loved ones, people my age. And, you know, it's hitting closer and closer to home. And I know I'm not the only one who's experiencing that. And I'm sure some of our listeners have been through it on a very personal level. And so it is. Yeah, I wish, obviously you and I have no answers. We are just two people trying to navigate this nightmare ourselves.
Yeah. So I'm sorry to take it there, but, you know, you asked how I was doing, and that's kind of how I'm doing. So how are you doing?
Well, I have all those feelings and more about all sorts of things that are happening in the world. And I'm distracting myself with skincare, because that's what I
do.
I don't know if it's a good idea, because I did notice my skin is flaking a little bit. So I might be doing a thing where I'm like, must experiment on my face and try all these products. But I did, a few weeks ago, we interviewed our guest who was on today's episode, and it inspired me. It's Caroline Hirons, by the way. We just gotta come out and say it. I mean, you can see it, and if you read the episode title, I mean, it was, and what a blast it was to interview. I mean, that was like a pod dream. But she's very pro retinol, and I devoured her book. Her book is so good. And then I was like, well, I gotta use retinol. So then I bought it, not knowing what I'm doing, and now I'm trying retinol once a week.
Okay.
So here I am, just a woman asking the retinol, standing in front of a bottle of retinol, asking it to do something to my skin.
I
wouldn't, like, I am both simultaneously working on loving, like, you know how we talk a lot about, you know, there's the body positivity, body neutrality. I think the same thing can and should and is being said about our skin. Our face.
Yes.
Everything,
totally.
Right? Like,
totally.
Love my face. Glad to have it. Glad to have the skin. You know, but would I be down if like a fine line smoothed out? I'd be into it. Like, I love my fine lines, but also like, I'm okay if they want to smooth out and relax too. So anyway, if this retinol does that, I welcome it. If it doesn't, I still love myself.
Aw, that's so nice.
You know,
I am excited. So, well, I should first preface this by saying that our guest, Caroline, is very skeptical of this treatment, which is called Bakuchiol. And it's kind of billed as a natural retinol. It's plant derived. It's been used in Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine for centuries. But a lot of like Western medicine dermatologists say that it offers similar benefits to retinol without the side effects and sensitivities. Now, Caroline thinks that it is complete bunk. So I'm going to, you know, take that under advisement. But Milk and Honey just sent us their new Bakuchiol treatment, and I'm very excited to try it. So I will report back. And, you know, according to this article I read in New York Magazine about Bakuchiol, you can use it with Retin A. I mean, you use it with retinol. Yeah, they're not like, you don't have to not use retinol if you're using Bakuchiol. So you could conceivably use both. So I will report back.
I would love to hear what listeners use for retinol products. If they've tried Bakuchiol.
In other news, I've gotten really much farther into Animal Crossing than even I was before.
Oh, yes.
Hey, I blame you for this, but
you
also
and I are both now.
I credit you for this because it is bringing me a lot of joy.
Can I tell you my favorite part about when I play Animal Crossing now? Whenever I sign on, it's like, I only have one Nintendo friend, who, and that's you. Like, we're official Nintendo friends.
Yeah.
And you're always online when I sign on. It's always like one friend. And I know it's you.
I've been online a lot. Well, and when you sign on, it says, because your name in it is Mom.
Oh, no.
Oh, so no. It always says, like, Mom is online.
Oh my
and it
God,
took me
I didn't
a minute
realize.
To figure out who that was, and I was like, oh, it's Kate.
Oh my gosh, I did not realize that other, like, everyone in our family plays, and oh my gosh, that's so embarrassing.
It's very hilarious. Sweet. Anyway, so there is a Forever 35 Animal Crossing Facebook group, which
so active, so fun,
which is so active, such a lovely group of people. And I had a little party on my island in Animal Crossing the other night. It wasn't an official party. It was more of a, like, a get together, if you will.
You opened your island and people showed up.
I opened my island. People showed up. They brought me gifts. It was just like, it was so sweet. They paid off my staircase, which, like, this means nothing to the vast majority of people listening, but to Animal Crossing people, you know, it's a big deal when someone pays off your staircase.
I will say there are over 200 people in the Forever 35 Animal Crossing Facebook group. It is an active. That's
oh,
a
it
lot
is
of
active.
People.
It is yeah. a lot of people. I had some stuff for them to catalog. It was a time.
You know, I'm kind of the mindset that whatever you need as a distraction or a relief right now is great. So if it's Animal Crossing, cool. Because it is
Thank
for me.
You. Yeah, it is for me too. All right, well, let's take a short break. And then when we come back, we'll be hearing from our queen, Caroline Hirons.
Oh my gosh.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style mm-hmm. and figuring out what my personal style is.
Mm-hmm.
But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like, fashion, I feel like, is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, I would not either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
because that's how easy and accessible masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you. Our guest today is Caroline Hirons. Caroline, we are so excited to have you on Forever 35. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Caroline is trained in more than 100 brands. She is a globally qualified advanced esthetician, and her career has involved developing bespoke facials and training teams internationally for top brands in the UK, US, and Asia. She's been in retail for 34 years and working as a consultant to brands in the beauty industry for over 10 years, advising brands on the route into market, where they should be selling, and why. And she has the biggest social media following across all channels in beauty and skincare. And she has an amazing new book out that Kate and I are both obsessed with called Skincare.
We thought we'd go for a pretty simple title, you know? There's no need to be like, let's face it, it's skincare. It's not becoming, you know, right. I'm not Michelle Obama.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Caroline, we're so excited to talk to you because we've both been big fans of yours for quite some time. And we both, like I said, we love your new book. And I guess I just want to start by asking, what is skincare advice that people ignore the most that we should all be listening to?
Wash your face properly and wear SPF.
That's it, right? That's pretty like simple. The most basic. Okay.
Like, if you're going to be a basic bitch, wash your face properly and wear SPF.
I love that in your book.
I'm very sorry. You should be used to it if you invite me on.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love how in your book you're like, do not go to bed with your makeup on. Like, how has this become a thing that people think is okay?
Well, there's a couple of things. It's the prevalence of wipes. They think they can just wipe it off and it's all gone. Grim. Mm-hmm. Just so grim. And it's that kind of, you know, I think sales are up of skincare across the board during COVID-19 because people are literally at home going, oh, wow, I could really make my skin look a bit better. And they've got time to do it. And they're not, they don't have any downtime. So they're experimenting more with actives, you know, sales are up. So it's not a sort of a sad picture in terms of the industry and going forward. But I do think there's still that smaller element that just sees it as something else you have to do. Some people see skincare as something you have to do if you want to wear makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? They sort of think they'll spend hours. And these are the same girls, by the way, who will spend $60 on a Pat McGrath foundation and tell me they have a budget of $20 for their whole routine. And I'm just side-eyeing like, really? Really?
Right.
But what can you do? It's education. Hopefully they'll get there.
Yep. you are not a fan of face wipes. That is clear if you read your website. That's clear in the book. Can you let listeners who may be face wipe loyalists know why you are not a fan?
Well, they don't clean your face, number one. So they don't clean your face properly. They leave residue. They leave, they leave ingredients on the skin that you would probably want to wash off. No one really wants to keep a surfactant on the skin. And that's what a wipe contains, really. It's kind of like, you know, they sort of throw in a bit of something to sort of make it feel like you're removing something. You know, it's almost like trying to bring a foaming cleanser to a wipe, some of them. And then they do horror one. I mean, they're all horrible, but there are varying levels of what rage they give me, to be honest. But they don't clean your skin. They just move it all around your face. So they remove the sort of surface layer. But if you're wearing SPF and you've had makeup on all day, there's not a wipe on earth that is going to leave your face clean. Not one. Besides what they do for the environment before I even start.
Right.
Right.
So there.
You could just leave it at there. Yeah. Done.
Pretty much.
Okay. Here's a question. I'm 41. I'll be 41 in a month. Dory, you're what, 42?
I'm 43.
How old are we? 43 and 41.
I know you're only 14. I have to remember.
Yeah, exactly. So, I was like, how old did I just turn? Yeah, right.
I know. I've kind of forgotten. Women our age, I feel like, ask us a lot about like what products can change wrinkles. I like your approach to anti-aging and how that's kind of a bullshit term. But like, if people want to address lines on their face, do products actually do anything for that? Or is it like,
yeah, of course. It's just,
okay. So what would be like the ultimate product to buy if someone's like, I'm getting lines, I'm 40, I want to address this?
Vitamin A, a retinoid. Okay. Vitamin A, number one, always. And, you know, especially in America, the first thing people will say is SPF, but SPF is preventative. And if you've got to the age of 40 and you've got lines, SPF is not going to help you get rid of those lines. It's going to stop you getting discoloring and pigmentation for sure as you get older. But most of the sun damage that comes out in your 30s and 40s is done before you're 20 anyway. It's from when we're kids and teenagers, right? Mm-hmm. So vitamin A, or vitamin A, I have to remember my audience, is sort of the number one in terms of proven anti-ager. And I use that term in not endorsing what it means.
Right. So let's talk about, it is summer in a lot of the world right now. Let's talk about summer skincare. What are some things that people should be doing differently now versus in the winter?
Well, I mean, a simple thing is when you change your clothing, when you change your wardrobe. So when you change your outer coats, you should change your moisturizer. That's the most simple one. If if you're wearing a big, heavy woolen coat and you get to springtime and you change it to a MAC, you know, then you should be looking at your moisturizer. You don't need to be using anything big and greasy. And especially if you're in a warmer climate like California, you know, at least you've got pretty much solid weather year round. No, you know what to expect most days when you're in LA, you know?
Yeah.
But I think not that LA encompasses all of California. I am aware of that. I do apologize. but it, you know, the sort of the rest of the world that has four very different seasons, you just have to be aware that, you know, as you, if you turn the heating on, if you turn the aircon on, just have a little look at your skincare and make sure it's still doing what it needs to do for you in those elements. That's number one, really. And once you do that, you kind of find that you know, you're more interested in looking at different products like vitamin C and niacinamide and azelaic acid and things that, you know, we kind of know help the skin and that you can include in actives. So the actives don't have to change throughout the year, but it's really about cleansing and moisturizing. The bookend products are the ones that you can really mix up, if that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah. So what you're saying is you kind of keep the middle part of your routine consistent. And the cleansing and the moisturizing are almost seasonal.
Yeah, kind of.
That makes sense.
I've yet to meet a California resident who doesn't love to wash their face in the shower with a foaming face wash. It still gives me nightmares. You know, I just work with what I'm given. The Lord tests me, but that's fine.
What you're given is lots of foam and lots of shower face washers. And you don't wash
and
your
scrubs.
Face
you love a scrub.
Shower,
you
right?
love.
Yeah.
No.
You do like to over exfoliate.
No. You love to over exfoliate. You hate oil. These are my sweeping generalizations. And by the way, this section did not make it into the book. But can you believe the legal department said Americans might get offended? I said, I promise you, every American I speak to who's a reader laughs and says, oh, yeah, that's me. Or, oh, yeah, that's my sister. Or, oh, yeah, that's my best friend. I don't do that anymore, Caroline. I've moved from the dark side. But, you know, it was washing your face in the shower. And it was after I'd been over to LA with Pixie for one of the first times. And this quite a few years ago. And everyone I spoke to we went to BeautyCon. They had a stand at BeautyCon and I sort of did an appearance. And everyone I spoke to, their face, I can immediately tell how someone takes care of their skin when I look at their face. So I would basically say, what scrub do you use? I wouldn't even say cleanser. I'd say, what scrub? And they all answered. They all had a scrub. So they scrub their face. And I do understand it because when you're in that heat, I get it. I do get that you have a different level of feeling like you want to get dirt off your skin. But you guys take it to like a pornographic level. It's not normal. It's not normal. I mean, you know, it's like exfoliate, then foam the living bejesus out of it, then put it under a hot shower. Like if you have a tepid shower, that's fine. But most of you also like a glaringly hot shower and then you don't use any oil. You don't replenish your skin. So your face ends up looking like a flaky pastry. I mean, that's my sweeping generalization of the land I love.
For the record, I do not use a foaming cleanser.
What cleanser do you use, Dory?
I use a Stratia cleansing milk.
Yeah. Nice. I like a milk. Nothing wrong with the milk.
Okay. All right.
Hold on. Carry on. Kate's very quiet. Kate's like, yeah, I like a bit of St. Ives myself.
I'm literally covered in foam right now. I'm in a hot shower scrubbing myself.
Yeah.
No, but yeah. You actually...
No oil in your moisturizer.
Not a single oil. No, you did describe a lot of the habits that I have picked up over the years. I don't think I use a foaming cleanser anymore, but like the scrubbing, the need to exfoliate, it's definitely...
You people need to calm down.
Yeah, it's definitely something. Can I ask a question? Can you talk to us about, you call them spritzes in your book, I call them face mists. I'm obsessed with misting myself nonstop, and it seems like you are a fan.
Well, what do you use?
What do I use? What don't I use, honestly? Let's see. Josh Rosebrook.
You don't want to use...
No.
Okay, that's fine. That's like, the Rolls Royce of me.
So what is a mist? What does it do? When do I use it? And like, do I need one with actual products in it or something like an Avene thermal water spray going to do anything?
No, don't use just water because it dehydrates your skin. You want something that contains either glycerin or a really sort of low percentage of hyaluronic acid or, you know, or aloe vera, something that has something else in the product rather than just plain water. Water will dehydrate you. That's why people who start using things like the Evian tin, it becomes completely addictive and you're spraying all day because your skin's actually dehydrated. and it has the opposite effect. But if you're spraying something like Josh Rosebrook, or even that the one that's like $4 on Amazon, the Heritage Store Rose Water and Glycerin, that's an amazing toner.
I use that. Yeah. I have Trader Joe's, which
water, glycerin, and a rose water. You know, from the sort of byproduct of essential oil. So it's essential oil free, it's fragrance free, and it's so dirt cheap. You know, so you can do either end of the spectrum. The key is to avoid things that have like, you know, like fake colored rose water, fake perfumed rose water. Then you're fine. And really, it's just about making the sandwich a bit more moist. You know. It is. All my analogies are about food or rock bands. You'll be fine. So it's literally, you know, you cleanse and then you might acid. You might not want to acid, but you can cleanse, you can acid, and then you would mist, and then you can serum, and then you can mist again if you want, and then you put your moisturizer on, and then you can mist on top. Depends entirely on your skin, how much your mist cost. Let's face it, it's easier to be handy with the one that was $4. And yeah, I mean, I love them, but they're also something that I tell people they don't need if budget is a concern, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Caroline, the section in your book of skincare myths, I'm obsessed with, especially your discussion of skin purging, which I feel like has become this thing that people think is normal.
A good thing. Yeah.
What the hell?
There's two ways of looking at it. If you're using over-the-counter products, there's not really anything that you can buy over-the-counter that is going to cause you to have massive purging. There shouldn't be anyway, you know? Mm. Prescription is different. If you go to see a derm and they give you tretinoin or, you know, some of the creams that you can get, and they're very different names from here to there, so I won't sort of, you know, go into names because everyone will be like, oh, is that a new cream? No, it's just a different generic name. Don't worry. But you shouldn't sort of, prescription strength is different because they're drugs, right? And the purging happens under the care of a doctor. If you start to purge, you could say there's an argument for a vitamin A making you purge, but it would have to be a sort of a really strong vitamin A. And I'm not the biggest fan of sort of purging unless you're under a doc's care. It just could lead to like, because for starters, people who start to purge, they're generally people who've had spots for a lot of their lifetime and they start to pick, and that's not great. And it leads scarring. So purging under a derm's care is standard. If you purge, and it's when people say, oh, I'm purging, and they sort of enjoy it, and I think, oh, what are you using? Because, you know, you don't have the sort of further advice of how you should cleanse when you're purging, how you should moisturize when you're purging. So it's just sort of when brands are like, but basically for me, the difference is if I look at someone, I can go, that looks like purging, or that looks like your skin's having a slight reaction to the product. And that's why brands started this whole thing of, oh, no, you're just purging, because they didn't want the returns, right?
Mm.
So it depends. Again, it's much more nuanced, really, because it depends on the product. It depends on the person's skin. But if your face, like I say in the book, if your face is angry and you've got a mixture of like spots and cysts and blackheads and whiteheads, and you just think, my skin is going to shit, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's much more about, it's possible the product is not the best one for you.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, no, totally. I feel like we see this all the time. You'll see in Facebook groups, skincare Facebook groups, people being like, I just started using X product and I broke out, and all the comments are, oh, you're just purging. Like, you know, give it a couple weeks. And what you're saying is like, no, this product does not agree with your skin.
Yeah. And it's worth, you know, it'd be worth sort of having the conversations with people and saying, and checking back and saying, so tell me how your skin is now. How's your skin now that you're not, you know, if you're not purging, what happened? Did you stop using it? Mm-hmm. What's the gist? You know, how did you get it to stop purging, as it were? Did you stop using the product, or did your skin naturally calm down? In which case, you know, you could say there's an argument that maybe they were purging. Right.
Yeah.
But it's very definitely been used as an excuse to stop getting returns, for sure.
Wow. Okay. Blowing my mind over here. No big deal.
I know. You are also, and you have a page on this in your book, but you are not a fan of sheet masks. If someone is kind of
addicted
white, to the sheet,
not out for eyes.
Caroline, you are a woman after my own heart. I have come out on this podcast saying that I don't like sheet masks. So I really appreciate that a professional is saying the same thing.
I just don't, you know, if you want to use them and you know, it makes you sit still for half an hour and you can sort of, I don't know, meditate or listen to music while you're doing it, knock yourself out. But, you know, there are people who will sell them that will say, oh, because it's held on the skin for longer, you're going to absorb more. No, you're not. The skin is not a sponge. The skin is a barrier. It's just going to sit on your skin for longer. So it depends. You know, if you want to, if you like the feeling of them, that's fine. But again, they're usually a polyfabric. They're not biodegradable. They're incredibly expensive for what they are. You know, I mean, they must be one of the, besides clay masks, sheet masks must be up there with the making the biggest profit margin for brands, because it's a wipe. It's a thick wipe with holes cut in it for eyes and some product added to it, right? So, you know, a clay mask is by far the cheapest thing you can make in the industry. So when I see clay masks and they're like $50, $60, I think, all right, God, all right, Rockefeller, calm down. But in terms of the sheet masks, if you enjoy them and you can find one that's biodegradable, knock yourself out. But otherwise, it's just, it makes a good picture for the gram, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, let's face it, I'm not sorry. I'm just trying to be polite. I'm really not.
You've been open about injectables. What is your approach to them?
Well, I always said to readers, you know, I haven't had anything so far, and when I do, I'll let you know. And then at the end of 2018, oh, remember the good days before pandemics? At the end of 2018, my mother-in-law had died and I had lost quite a bit of weight. And I just looked in the mirror one day and I looked as tired and grief-stricken as I was. And so I just went to see an aesthetic doctor and said, look, I don't want, you know, I'm not a facelift girl. I don't want to look like a surprise tambourine. You know, I want my eyes to move. I have to be able to raise my eyebrows to tell off my kids, for starters. So I don't want that. And also I'm not a great candidate for sort of forehead Botox and stuff, because I have such a massive forehead that no matter where they inject it, it would probably depress my brow. And then I would have that weird look that some Hollywood actresses get, where it looks like they're frowning, but actually the Botox is just slipping down. Mm-hmm. So what I did do was have some filler sort of around, just sort of in front of the temple area, to just pull back my cheeks a bit. Because obviously when you're perimenopausal and menopausal, your collagen is depleted, you know, everything kind of starts to sag. It's not a joke, ladies. It literally sags. Bladder control, everything. So when you get to a certain point, and there's, you know, there's only, and especially when you've had loads of kids like I have, idiot. but there comes a point where the creams, you know, and the thing that bugs me is when people say, well, of course she's got good skin. She's had loads of work done. They're not the same thing. It's like cause and effect. One doesn't cause the other. Botox and filler don't give you good skin. They fix the structure of your skin underneath. They don't change your skin topically. So it would be quite possible for someone to have severe acne or severe rosacea, you know, or any kind of other common ailment, as it were, and to have Botox and filler and still have those problems, but their face just has a bit more structure to it. And so that's what really bugs me when people, you know, they say, oh, we've got a face full of filler. It doesn't do anything to your skin topically.
Right.
You know, you'll have to take care of your skin. All you're doing, to me, it's no different than dyeing your hair. If you don't like being gray and you dye your hair, you dye your hair. If you don't like having a saggy jowl, or you don't like your double chin and you can do something about it, you do something about it. And it's no one else's business. You know, I speak about it because I don't want people to think, one, I'm trying to hide anything. Two, I'm ashamed of it because I'm not. Three, that it's any of their business. You know, I talk about it because I've decided I will share that info with them, but it's not, you know, if people had demanded it of me, I probably wouldn't have done, to be honest. And right. Also, I want my readers to trust me. I don't want them to think, oh, she looks so good. Her skin's blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm the first to say, oh God, no, my cheeks are actually down by my tits. I've just had a bit of filler, love, you know. And they're not that bad, but it gives people the impression that, you know, you're just being real.
Yeah.
Right. So right. It's, you know, whatever anyone wants to do. I mean, I do think there's a certain point where it's something much more underlying, like the guy who's turned himself into Ken or Barbie, you know,
right.
That kind of severe body dysmorphia is different. Yeah. Well, you know, everyone needs to chill. We're talking about a little bit of hyaluronic acid. Literally, you know, everyone's like, oh, I'm so terrified of having Botox or filler and blah, blah, blah. And what makes me laugh is, especially again with California, the Green Brigade, they're like, I don't use parabens, but they've got a face full of Botox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're like, yeah, all right, Doris, nice one. It just makes me laugh. It's just that, you know, that whole mindset of, God forbid you use a cream with a paraben in it, which is actually the safest preservative ever made, but you have no problem with injecting botulism around your eyes. You know, I don't have a problem with it, but it just, the irony for me is not lost. I spend a lot of time, again, when I'm in California more than anywhere else, going, ha ha. Literally like, mm-hmm, okay.
Well, you have a whole, sorry, you, California. You write about, no, you write about this in your book. And I think you make a really interesting point, which is like that the US does not actually regulate products very well. So while like parabens, ultimately, you know, it's up to everyone to decide, but it's probably not a big deal. There are some issues with the ways in which like the FDA has not, or excuse me, like the USA has not done a great job of really regulating the ingredients in skincare.
Well, the difference is in the UK and in Europe, and to be honest, the rest of the world, you have to prove a product is safe before you can put it on sale. In the USA, you can put the product on sale, but if you're challenged, you have to prove that product is safe. Now, the reason why it's a load of nonsense, you know, the EWG and Kourtney Kardashian going to Congress and saying we haven't banned all these ingredients, the USA takes a slightly more grown up and trusting approach. They haven't banned the ingredients because they're not used anywhere anymore. You don't find mercury in lipsticks. You don't find mercury in vaccines. You know, there's a whole other off tail with that. But these ingredients aren't used, and it's all marketing. It's all marketing to make people feel like, you know, good and bad. And, you know, what's the opposite of clean? Dirty. So it's almost saying that everything else in Sephora is dirty. And I actually put the clean section of the book is the one section I said, you want to run that through legal. Because I didn't play, you know, and I basically, when I said to them, well, here's all the receipts, I just took all of this from their websites and the rest of it is my opinion about it. And they said, well, that's fine. If they've got it on their website, what are they going to argue with, you know? But the fact that Sephora, who, let's face it, makes the majority of their money from the high tech skincare area, The fact that they have a section called clean, then they don't see that is telling the other brands that they are dirty is astounding to me. Mm. I walk around Sephora with my eyes open and my chin at the floor just going, what? You know, so it's an interesting one, because if you look in Sephora, there's nothing unsafe in Sephora. So, and half those products, none of them will have gone through regular, but here's the big thing the American customers need to really remember. No one in America is setting out to hurt you, because think of the litigation. You guys are the most litigious country on earth. So if someone brings out a product, a serum or a mask or a moisturizer that burns the living bejesus out of all of their customers' faces, they're facing a class action suit, right? You know, American lawyers would destroy them. So no one is setting out to harm you. It's complete paranoia and marketing, and it drives me to distraction. And there we go. Anything else you'd like me to not have an opinion about?
Well, I have something that I would like you to have an opinion about, which is, what is the skincare trend you wish would die?
Oh, so many. Glitter, unicorns, anything that's just infantilizing women, wipes, masks, pretending that Bakuchiol is the second Jesus and that it's the same as retinol when it's not. So many things. You know, when you just walk around and you're like, oh, shut up. I get so many press releases and I'm just like, oh my God, someone paid you to type that.
What are some trends in skincare that you're excited about?
I don't, to be honest, it's the solid stuff that sticks around. I'm excited that more people are getting into it. You know, I think it's good for people's skin. you know, it's good for your self-esteem. It makes you feel better when you've got a clean face, unless you're my teenage son, obviously. teenagers are another level. I think, you know, everyone realizing that actually if they just wash their face, found a good vitamin C, vitamin A, and an SPF, they'd be good. Mm-hmm. I think that's sort of nice. You know, I think the cream is rising to the top. The dust is settling. We kind of know what works and what doesn't. The choice, I totally understand that the choice can be overwhelming. And to that point, I suppose to your previous question, a trend that I wish would die would be people asking about the percentages of everything and thinking that the ordinary cures all ills. Mm. Because it doesn't. And the percentages are made up as part of a total formula. It has absolutely no bearing on the product. You know, you can have a really good, excellent daily 2% vitamin C because the carrier, the base ingredient and the carrier is so good that it's bioavailable. It goes straight into the skin. You could have a 30% vitamin C in an unstable formula, and all it's going to do is go off, oxidize, and irritate your skin. You know, I think what the EWG and brands like The Ordinary at the beginning, they did wonders for sort of democratizing and offering people a sort of a valid price point. But what they've also done is made everyone think they're a frigging chemist. And so instead of buying one serum, they'll buy five. I mean, do you see the marketing genius in that? You know, instead of buying one $30 product, they'll go onto The Ordinary's website and order five, because The Ordinary will say, well, if you've got this skin, this will help, and this will help, and this will help, and this will help. And they order all four. And before you know it, you've spent more than you would have done in the first place. So they undoubtedly have some great formulas. And I'm all for, you know, having skincare at a good price point. But don't try and compare, for example, The Ordinary's glycolic red weekly peel to Biologique Recherche P50. It's like comparing Meryl Streep and someone from Real Housewife of Beverly Hills and Meryl Streep. Like, literally, there's no, you know, they're both on TV. It's like saying they're both on TV. Yeah, but they do very different jobs, you know? So I think it's the trend for everyone thinking they're a chemist, I'm well over. You know, can you tell me what the percentage is? I'm like, why? Where did you get your degree in chemistry? And they're like, oh no, I just, you know, I want to make sure it's strong. Right, well, I'm telling you what the formula's going to do to your face. It's honestly like eating the best cake on earth and then questioning the chef and saying, yeah, but what flour did you use and what was the weight of that flour? Like, you just wouldn't do it. So the distrust that's in the industry, you know, I think social media has helped. I think it's been a double-edged sword. It's helped get rid of some of it because it means brands are more accountable. And you've seen no more evidence of that than you have in the last 2 weeks, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think it's also led to a lot of, there's some crazy marketing claims out there. And I just think, oh my God, how did you get that past the table, you know?
Yeah. Caroline, how did you initially get interested in skincare? Was this something that your mom passed down to you? How did this come about?
My mother and my grandmother were both in the beauty industry. So I kind of grew up around it. It was just second nature. You know, as soon as it even looked like I was getting my periods or I was getting the odd hormonal zit, I had a 3-step routine. You know, mum was just like, you can wear makeup, but if you're going to wear makeup, you have to wash your face properly. And here's what you're going to do. You know, my earliest memories of watching my grandmother take her makeup off every night with almond oil and then using like a Lancome cleanser. And this is like in the 70s and 80s, you know?
Yeah.
It was always around, and I never made a plan of, oh, I'm going to work in the beauty industry. I just sort of, I got a Saturday, Sunday job in Harvey Nichols. And on my first day, I thought, oh, this is fun. I like this. And on my second day, I just fell in love with it, and that was it. I just knew I wasn't going to leave the industry again. And, you know, it's kind of been a love affair ever since.
Well, we're glad it has been. We have a kind of lightning round of...
Round. Let's go.
Okay, we want to get your, like, lightning reactions to cult products.
Oh, God, are you sure you got legal compass for this? I'll give you up, girls. You might want to brace yourselves. Okay.
Let's try. Holding on to the table. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Starting off with Sunday Riley Good Jeans.
Oh, excellent product. To be clear, the US version is excellent. The UK version is good, but the US version is better because it's lactic, not glycolic. Just to be clear.
I didn't realize there was a difference. Okay.
Yeah. Because, and you'll appreciate this after the current conversation, or the previous conversation, the percentage of lactic in the US version is too strong for Europe. So they had to change it to glycolic.
Wow.
For everyone who comes from London, you know how you girls all come over here and you're like, what can we get in London that we can't get in New York?
Yes.
Everyone that goes to the US from London immediately buys Sunday Riley Good Jeans and Sephora if they're a skincare addict.
I didn't know that.
Never knew that. All right. Next up, Vintner's Daughter Active Botanical Serum.
Good if you can afford it.
Okay.
But I wouldn't. I wouldn't credit card it, put it that way.
Okay.
Weleda Skin Food.
Love it, but the lighter version is better for most skins.
Okay. Biologique Recherche P50.
One of my favorite products of all time.
Glossier Future Dew.
One of my favorite products of all time.
Wow, okay.
Wow. You've either done research or I don't know what's going on here. I like this tomfoolery. I like it.
Drunk Elephant Marula Oil.
Well, they don't like me anymore, so I don't like to give them oxygen. But it's a beautiful oil, but you can buy it cheaper. If you can afford it, buy it. It's a beautiful oil.
And what about Baby Facial?
We don't get that here, and I'm not a fan of putting a really, really strong acid on your face. And then when Drew Barrymore put it, and she was doing the school run in the sun, I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And they were endorsing it. They were like, thank you. And everyone was just like, tell her she shouldn't be doing that.
Oh, God. Oh my gosh. I did not know that. Oh.
Oh, yeah. She was like, and I just love Baby Facial, and was rubbing it all over her face, and then got in the car in the sunshine and did the school run with it on. And she was saying, sometimes I'll pick it up when I get home. And I'm like, oh, my God. But I can't really speak to it, to be fair, because I used it ages ago, but I'm not a fan of kind of a super strong acid in that way.
Okay. SkinCeuticals CE Ferulic Serum.
I prefer Floretin. That's my top tip of the day. Floretin is the version that's made for an oilier skin, but it's a much lighter serum. It's like water. And it goes on much nicer, especially in your climate. If I was in California, I wouldn't use Ferulic. I'd use Floretin.
Okay.
Oh, noted.
La Mer Creme de la Mer.
Overrated, too expensive. Having said that, it's one of my mother's favorite products of all time.
Paula's Choice Skin Perfecting 2% BHA.
A gold mine of a product. You know, I don't need to use it, so I don't use it, but people who use it love it. Mm-hmm. It's a surefire winner. You can't go wrong, really. You know, I mean, for all the problems with the brand, you know, for all the sort of the heat they take for, you know, having all their products are 5-star and their website and others aren't.
Right.
You would just do that though, wouldn't you? I mean, you just would. I don't even have a problem with it. I'm like, of course they're going to give their own products 5-stars. What do you expect? They're going to say, actually, this is a 1-star. Our product is shit. They don't buy it. I mean, imagine. But, you know, for the product itself, I think, again, with some of these, actually with most of these, the proof is in the pudding. You know, there's a reason they become cult products.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not with all, you know, but with quite a few of them. I would like to think that there's a good reason.
Right. Okay, just a couple more. SK2 Facial Treatment Essence.
Overrated.
Okay.
Augustinus.
No, I don't. I've never bought it because
it's so expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overrated and overpriced.
Augustinus Bader, the cream and or the rich cream.
Overrated and overpriced.
Okay.
And I would also recommend that you go and look at Instagram. And I can't remember. I think it was We Are Bats. There's a couple of cosmetic scientists. There's one called Stephen, a kind of Stephen. And then there's We Are Bats. And he put a whole piece up about how the Bader cream in particular, here's the irony, the testing that they use on their packaging, like this has been tested on blah, 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 and proven to be so-and-so, was done on rats.
Ah!
Because not as a cosmetic product, but as a medication. Because obviously, all medications are tested on animals. This is why when people are like, oh, I'm just going to take my Advil, I'm like, tested on animals, but okay. So the testing was done on rats. So they, to say it's cruelty free is a bit of a misnomer, because down the line, not too long ago, there were animals involved. And a lot of the tests, which is actually another one of the beauty myths I should have put in the book, but I don't know why I didn't. I'll save it for the blog, is that most clinical studies, if not all clinical studies that you see written on packaging, are done on white skin. So I would take everything with a pinch of salt. If you are darker than even Latino and darker, I would take it with a pinch of salt if it says it's going to fix your pigmentation, because your pigmentation is stronger than ours in terms of, you know, what you're trying to shift. So things like that bug me. But yeah, I think it's hype. You know, if people love it, use it. If you love it, use it. I'm the first to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if you are credit carding these expensive products because you are buying hope in a jar, then you don't need to.
All right. And the last one, which we have a pretty good idea how you feel about, but we're going to ask for the benefit of our audience. Pixi Glow Tonic.
I think it's a great starter product. You know, I mean, in the, I mean, Pixi was literally like the second acid that existed in the industry. You know, Pixi's been going a long time. P50 was made in 1970. Pixi's been around since the, oh God, what was their 20th anniversary last year? So what's that? Yeah, 1999. And I think they started a bit earlier as well. But in terms of like liquid exfoliating acids, the bonuses are it's alcohol free, it's 5% glycolic, so it's nice and mild. It's not going to give you a problem if you want to use it twice a day. And again, the proof's in the pudding, you know? It's kind of, there's a reason it keeps selling bottle after bottle, you know?
Right, right, right. Well, that was great. Oh, thank you for indulging us.
Yes.
I'm surprised you didn't ask me about Cetaphil. You know how much I love that.
That's, well, yes. Can you just, that's like a hot product that comes up a lot on our show. I feel like that's also like,
in a good way.
It's kind of a standby, right? Like everybody kind of always falls back onto the Cetaphil.
I don't know why. It's an atrocious product. It's just an atrocious product.
Really? Just avoid completely.
Avoid completely. Unless you want to use it to clean your butt or your feet.
I mean, why not? I love cleaning a butt. You got to clean a butt once in a while.
But even then, I wouldn't put it on my baby's skin, you know? It's basically like water, 3 parabens, 2 alcohols, and sodium lauryl sulfate. It's the most overhyped, but we know why Cetaphil sells, yes? Cetaphil belongs to the Galderma family of business, and they also make filler. So every dermatologist is given Cetaphil to give to people and just call it a great basic. It's not a great basic. It's a basic bitch. There's nothing good about it, except it's cheap and you can get big bottles of it, and that's it.
For someone who wants to buy a good drugstore cleanser, what would you recommend?
CeraVe. So same initials, very different products.
Yeah.
Very different products. CeraVe is a different level, you know, and again, CeraVe is basic, but it doesn't have the same, you know, the whole thing is based on ceramides and replenishing the skin barrier, whereas Cetaphil is like just tearing it off. They love me, Cetaphil. I get invited to Thanksgiving every year.
You recently had a conversation on your Instagram with Dr. Atta Jewel about what needs to change in the beauty industry. And I'm just wondering, what can we do as consumers to hold beauty brands accountable?
I think, you know, just do a bit more research, shop with your dollar, basically. You know, if a brand has just not done anything to support, you know, for example, if you go into Sephora, and I only use Sephora because it's so well known in the US, but if you go into any store and they don't have darker shades, ask why. And if they say, oh, we don't have them out, ask why. And if they say, well, they don't sell, say, well, how are they going to sell if you don't have them on display? Numbnuts. It's not a hard scenario to fix, you know?
Yeah.
And I think if people are problematic, you know, if brands are, if you don't align with how they think politically, then you're going to have to just, you know, it's your money, spend it where you want it. It would be great. I just think it would be really beneficial if everyone cared for darker skins as much as they do for the animals, because it would just fix everything overnight. Because people who are totally against cruelty-free, I mean, totally for cruelty-free and against animal testing, are so militant about it that they're the ones who caused the change. Imagine if we were as militant about making sure we were anti-racist. Mm. Imagine what change we could make. And that's not to say I want the animals harmed. We could have both.
Yes.
I'm just saying the energy that people put into don't animal test, cruelty-free, petter and all of that, you know, where's the thinking of, oh, well, there's no black colours here. There's no darker colours here. And why? Don't even get me, you've got me started now, girls. Why do we still have colours called tan? Mm. That's not what black skin looks like when it's tanned. Like everything is dedicated to a white customer, everything. So it's up to us to change it, the people in the industry, and it's up to customers to support it when we make those changes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Agree. Hard agree.
There's no excuse. There's just no excuse. You know, I had, because I've been quite vocal the last 2 weeks, well, no change there, let's face it. But because I think I've been quite vocal, the only negative comments I've had have been from wealthy white women who are annoyed that I'm not just pandering to their every skincare need and that I'm actually getting political. And then I'm like, well, it's not politics, it's human rights.
Yeah.
Supporting black lives is not political. It's a human rights issue, you know? And also, I was just as vocal about being pro-choice. I was just as vocal about being pro-vaccine. And, you know, it's the pro-polio brigade that make me die. I have no time. Let's not even start me off. That's a whole other chapter. But, you know, I think you have to vote with your dollar if you've seen that brands have reacted horribly. You know, L'Oreal have basically saved themselves millions by apologizing to Monroe Bergdorf because they were on course for a full boycott.
Yeah.
Certainly everyone in the skincare community on Instagram was just like, well, they're done. Yeah. You know, they're done. So, and you know, they need to expand their testing. They need to support darker colors. I've sat on consulting gigs, you know, behind the scenes, because oddly they want my opinion, but they don't want me in front of the camera. Funny that, isn't it? when you're a loose cannon, they're like, yeah, we'll just get the young 20-year-old to do the actual picture for Instagram, but we want your brain in the boardroom. But I've done consulting gigs where they will happily and frankly not be as embarrassed as they should be to say to in front of a group of women that is all over 40 and includes black women, black journalists, to say that the product is aimed at a woman over 40, but the visual is someone who's 25 and white, and no, they haven't tested it on black skin. That shit's got to change.
Well, Caroline, I don't even know what to say. This has been so freaking great.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Caroline, for those of our listeners who, for some reason, don't follow you already, where can people find you and follow you?
Oh, I am Caroline Hirons everywhere, literally. You can just put my name in and it all pops up. And if in doubt, just go to carolinehirons.com. And then I obviously link to everything from there. That's the easiest way.
Great. Well, thanks again. And
my pleasure. Thank you for listening to me rant.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Well, she was everything I hoped and dreamed.
I know. And like, even before we started even doing Forever 35, my kind of intro into skincare was through friends recommending her website. And she's always been the person who's like, well, you know, someone will say like, well, what does Caroline Hirons say? What does she say? And she's like, she is the authority.
I
have to say, her book is really fantastic. I was really, because you never know when someone releases a book, what it's, especially kind of a reference guide like this, but it is really thoughtful and accessible and well done. And I found it really, really useful. I really loved it. So definitely grab her book if you are a skincare connoisseur, skincare curious, whatever you call yourself.
What I love about it is I think it's good for like all levels of skincare.
Yes, because I still feel like I am a basic newbie skincare person. And then occasionally I'm like, oh, I kind of get it now. But it was helpful in so many levels. It's how totally. I decided to try this retinol. Always comes back to the retinol.
There you go.
Tonight. All right. Well, let's lurk back into the area of intentions, because I did some thinking about what I want to do this week, because I've kind of dropped the ball on something.
Okay, tell me.
Oh, well, first I should say, I think my last intention was that I was going to make doctor's appointments.
Yes.
And I did it. I did it. And even my husband's doing it. We're kind of getting back into the game.
Amazing.
FYI.
That's so great.
Number two. And I have my telehealth appointment for my butt cheek. So
that's right. Yes.
Really, really leaning into the intentions. So Dory, this week, you know, it's interesting to me how journaling comes up so much with different guests as a self-care practice. And I had really gotten into my one line a day journal and I was being really consistent about it. And I've completely dropped the ball. And now because I've dropped the ball in it, I'm like hesitant to go back into it because there's like a big gap of blank spaces. And I'm like, oh, no. That's going to make me feel annoyed. Okay.
Don't be hesitant.
I brought it with me on our family 3-day adventure and I didn't touch it. And like I had lovely things to write about and I'm annoyed at myself. And now I'm like, do I abandon this altogether? But I'm going to give it one more try.
Yeah, don't abandon it altogether.
Have you ever forgotten it for like weeks at a time, or have you been consistent since day one?
I have not forgotten it for weeks at a time.
Well, look at you.
Sorry. Sorry.
I was expecting nothing less, to be honest.
It's just, there have been some nights where I've been like, oh, I don't feel like writing. But that's why it's so great that it's one line. It's so short.
No, yeah, you're right. It takes next to nothing.
It takes like less than a minute.
Yeah.
And then it's done. And then it's done.
All right. So that's my intention, is to get back to my one line a day journal. I really do like having a little record of everything that happens. And I just have to do it. I just got to do it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
So I wanted to get out of my meal rut last week. And, you know, we heard from so many listeners who sent in vegetarian recipes. And I just have to say thank you so much for all of those recipes. I'm still going through them all, but I feel like I will never be in a meal rut again. Like,
we got
it,
so
it will be impossible.
I think so we should compile them to share.
I was thinking
listeners.
That too. Yeah, in some sort of doc.
Yeah, because we got such amazing recommendations. I know we want to talk about them further on down the road on an episode, and it would be great to have them all in one place. Like a little cookbook.
Yeah. Okay. I literally had the same idea.
Like
we're
a
so
little
on the
church
same wavelength.
Cookbook. We really are. And yeah. So have you cooked any of the suggested recipes yet?
I have not, but I'm excited to. There were many where I was like, ooh, yeah, that looks good. So yeah,
there
I
was
think
like
we should totally put together a cookbook.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say there was a pasta that came in like in an email today that looked really good. Yes. Well, we'll put them. We'll figure that out. We will be putting those together. Anyway, what do you have on deck for this week? Sorry.
I have a very, like brass tacks intention this week, which is I want to clean the bathrooms.
Listen,
That's
got to get done. There is no place in the house that reminds you more of how filthy your house is than the fucking bathroom.
It's so true.
Oh, God. Holy moly. The hairs.
Yeah. It's bad.
It's bad,
Kate.
It's
bad.
No, Dory. I trust me. I get it. And you know what? With the bathroom, you clean it. And then all it takes is one person going in there to destroy it right away. Like it's the most unsatisfying clean. You get like no time with it.
Yeah. It's very unsatisfying, but it needs to be done.
Must be done. Godspeed, so my friend. Godspeed.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Oof,
it's the worst. Well, it's a pleasure to be reunited.
Yes, it really is. It's great to talk
to you. Back on the pod. Yeah. And, you know, this show, Forever 35, is hosted and produced by you, Dory Shafrir, and me, Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. You know, who I was just thinking today, I really miss Sammy.
I miss Sammy too. We haven't seen
Sammy
him
since March.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe even before March. Yeah, and I was looking at my dog, who I was like, I bet you miss Sammy, too. I don't know. I was just so...
Oh,
I miss...
Yeah.
Anyway. And Sam Reed is our amazing project manager. And listeners, we thank you for listening. We will talk to you on Friday.
We will. Bye.